better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So when you saw that news yesterday, Tommy, I was out on the golf course. You were driving up to your river house there. What were your thoughts on that, man, initially?
Well, my first thought was, how are they going to make it work? How do you – musical chairs here. You've got 14 players, 13 scholarships. How does Muss make this work? And, you know, then you start processing that, and the next thing you think is, well, does that mean they know something about Isaiah Joe? We'll get to that conversation. But I guess my first thoughts were not so much about Justin Smith and his talents and his size and what he brings to – I guess he would play the four, three or four spot. He's a forward. Not so much his talents as how does Muss make all this work? That was, I guess, roster management was where my first thoughts went.
And that's where it needs to go, because we're going to play some Eric Musselman audio coming up in the program. So far, this roster, which is one scholarship player above where it can actually be, 14 compared to 13, it's not the system that he's implored in years past. So I don't know if 1 year of being in the SEC changed his mindset compared to playing 4 years in the Mountain West or just being an assistant coach, how he's going to go about that, or if we're going to see a flurry of transfers come in a little bit. But we'll start with Isaiah Joe. Many people, I saw this yesterday, were very sad. A lot of sad emojis were posted on Twitter, because it's not like you're unhappy about Justin Smith transferring to Arkansas. Many are under the assumption that because Smith is transferring to Arkansas, Isaiah Joe is out the door. And as I opened up, Tommy, that's not necessarily 100%. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I still don't think Isaiah Joe is probably out the door, because I'm leaning in that direction, but I can't 100% get on these airwaves and say, oh, he's gone, because something about me is teetering a little bit back and forth that he might stay. But this, again, is not the 100% de facto decision, oh, now Isaiah Joe is out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think one thing has necessarily anything to do with the other. I don't think this is a bellwether, or this is an indicator of Isaiah Joe's future decision that is pending for sometime in July or early August, which is now the deadline, by the way, is in early August. I know you know that, but so I don't think one necessarily has anything to do with the other. These things, as Nolan always said, and a lot of coaches say, these things have a way of working themselves out. Talk about the roster numbers. If Isaiah Joe wants to stay, there will be a spot, and it won't be his that'll have to be given up. It will be another player that that finds a soft landing somewhere else around college basketball. But I don't think Justin Smith coming in is going to have anything to do with Isaiah Joe's decision to stay or go. I think they're completely and totally separate of each other.
And when you look at Justin Smith, not the best shooter, shot 49% last year, and it's not like he has Isaiah Joe's three-point capability. But one thing he does bring to the table, y'all, is athleticism. Just to put in perspective, his vertical jump of 48 inches. Tommy, do you also know who had a 48-inch vertical jump? A little documentary on him that we've been watching the last couple weeks.
You must be talking about Michael Jordan then.
Michael Jordan, ding, ding, ding. That is correct. So the same vertical jump that Justin Smith has at 48 inches, Michael Jordan, just to put that in perspective for everyone listening right now, has the same vertical jump. Now, the buck stops there in terms of comparisons between Justin Smith and Michael Jordan. But just to show you many of his highlights this past season at Indiana, or either alley-oops, dunks, he has a way of getting to the rack and getting to it quick and then just exploding off the floor. I think Eric Musselman is excited about the potential and the athleticism he brings. A good defender, average 10 points, five boards this past year, and it seems like he gets after it on defense as well, which is going to be important because you know, Tommy, that if you don't play defense, and I think Mason Jones was kind of the exception this past season, if you don't play, and Clay's under the assumption that he was told really to just gamble and not play so much defense, but you know you're not going to play under Eric Musselman unless you get after it and be a two-way player.
Oh, we know that it's a priority and may be the first priority with Eric Musselman is you better be able to do the job you're asked to do on the defensive end. So absolutely, you got to be able to do it on both ends. I know you bring up the vertical number there with comparison to Michael Jordan. It doesn't compare him to Michael Jordan, but what it does give you is an idea of his athleticism. That's for sure.
It just puts it in perspective. And he is eligible right away. Yes, he's an immediate correct. Graduate transfer. And so on that note, you wonder, not only you're questioning what Isaiah Joe's upcoming decision may be, but you're also questioning, hey, what are these other players going to do? Because right now you're one scholarship above where you can legally be at the college basketball level. So is there another player? There are a couple players that are going to transfer out the door. I know there's been speculation about Reggie Chaney, maybe Ethan Henderson, and so on. That there's nothing substantiated to those players potentially transferring, but now you are one scholarship player above board. What happens next is going to be very interesting on who decides to leave the program, whether they're asked or whether they decide on their own.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if some of these incoming freshmen will be asked to redshirt. Now, I don't think it would be Moses Moody, but could you see a Jalen Williams who is also a forward who maybe physically needs to spend another year developing, considering you know Arkansas is going to have some options at the 4 and 5 spot. Maybe some of these freshmen. I would be surprised if at least one of those four incoming players didn't redshirt this year.
I don't know how you convince them of that, though, because these are guys that are four stars that had scholarships to a bunch of different places, and we live in a world where it's more focused on the individual. Not to say these guys are selfish by any means, but you know how it is in college basketball. When you're a high-profile high school kid, you want to play right away. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't be the right move if Eric Musselman and his staff could convince a player. I just don't know how you do that. That's a heck of a pitch you'd have to deliver, Tommy. Maybe you should deliver it, because I sure as heck couldn't.
Well, maybe when you're the coach and you hold all the cards on playing time, maybe you can convince them they'll get a lot more minutes out of their two or three seasons with a year on the bench. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's still something, an option that unless he's going to throw out the philosophy and play 13 guys, and I don't know if that'll happen either. Maybe he plays 10 or 11. I don't know, but I'm just saying that's still an option of one of these guys, maybe two of these guys that are incoming freshmen being redshirted.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Oh, he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Before we get into basketball conversation, Tommy, you got a little situation, I say a little, big situation going on where you are.
Well, I was talking about all this rain. You know, a crystal ball came up, and if you've listened for any time, you know that I've got a place that we're very proud of on the North Fork River, and I'm not far. Clay has moved up. In fact, I'm actually at Clay's kitchen table right now because, guys, me and my brother, Teddy, we're sitting at our place kind of knowing that, hey, we're going to have some problems with rising water, and they're going to open the floodgates, and we're hoping. You're always praying. You're always on edge during these things when you have property on a river, if you're on the White River, the North Fork River. And we get a knock on the door last night, guys, about 6:30. Something like that. Sheriff's deputy. I'm like, well, Ty's not here. You know, there's no reason for the sheriff to be here. Ty isn't here, you know. And he says, guys, we're going to just let you know you need to probably evacuate because they're going to open the floodgates sometime overnight, perhaps morning, and your house could have water. It's going to be more than they've ever released. Well, in 08, they put water in the house that we had. That's how we ended up with it, actually. So I find myself this morning for the first time being an evacuee, and I'm at Clay Henry's kitchen table right now. So, you know, we'll just see how the next 12 hours go. It's going to be a rough day for me and everybody along the rivers.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't. I mean, I don't know about water flow or how, like, what they can do to prohibit that, but hopefully it doesn't. It causes as least. Well,
they're going to create it. That's the thing. Yeah, but Clay was kind enough to take me and my brother in last night.
How sweet of him.
It's always a good time when you come to Clay's house. So,
you thought when that policeman knocked on your door, it was Ty. If something happened with Ty,
I thought for sure that he probably wanted Ty's autograph or something.
Yeah. Autograph. Listen, I've been arrested once. I won't get arrested again. It's a one time thing. I would encourage.
And when I say autograph, I meant on the bottom of a citation. Yeah. So, you know,
it could have been because you might have broke your. Did you break your rule yesterday?
I did.
Your Cardinal drinking rule?
I had three ice-cold, delicious Michelob Ultras yesterday, and I still played like crap.
Well, that explains the first two segments.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, still played like crap. But all right, let's get back into this.
How did you play? You hit? Hang on.
For the third time, I played like crap. Let's move on. I did not play good.
But did you play better than you did this weekend?
No.
You played worse?
Yeah, I had a great back nine. I didn't really do anything. I had a couple of shots. So I was like, oh, man, I'm actually a competent golfer. But then other shots, I was like, no, I'm not a competent golfer. So, but yeah, it was fun.
So before you try to hijack it back into sports, I'm just warning you, Clay may stumble in here in a minute and hop on. So we may get honored with a rare Tuesday appearance from the Clay Henry.
Should we be excited about that?
Possible.
Well,
I'm going to leave that up to you. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Well, here's the thing. All Clay's going to want to talk about is how I didn't perform yesterday on the golf course. And I'd like to stay on this Justin Smith conversation if possible, because I think that's what people would like to talk about more. Even though belittling me is one of Clay Henry's favorite things to do.
There's a lot of listeners that probably like to belittle you, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
they get pleasure out of that.
It's a combination.
It's high on a lot of our lists.
Yeah, it's family, friends, coworkers.
All right, so you want to talk? Yeah, it's a pastime.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there with baseball. It's a pastime.
All right, segueing back into the basketball conversation. This guy, Justin Smith, he is the 11th.
Back to sports.
Yeah, the 11th ranked grad transfer. So you've picked up what's wild to me. Now, and there are some people they're going to say this is now the number one recruiting class in the country. It's not. Kentucky and Duke are absolutely loaded this year. I think Kentucky got like 4 or 5 stars and 2 4 stars, and Duke got 3 and 3. So, I mean, their classes are just loaded. Now, Smith was a 4 star coming out of high school, but this class, like now with the addition, you got the 4 freshman phenoms out of Arkansas and KK Robinson, Jalen Williams, Devontae Davis, and Moses Moody. Then you add Jalen Tate, Vance Jackson, and I mean, this is just going to be a fun class. I mean, with the guys that you added are all seniors in Vance Jackson, Jalen Tate, and Justin Smith. And the interesting storyline about them, Tommy, is Vance Jackson played must in Nevada. Jalen Tate watched. Now, he didn't play in the Northern Kentucky game. He had a broken hand, but he watched Arkansas play Northern Kentucky this past season. And then Justin Smith, he was on Indiana when they lost at home to the Razorbacks this year. So they all have a connection to Eric Musselman. Obviously, something caught their attention. They're like, you know what? I think I'm going to become a Razorback because I like how this guy coaches.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there is a connection there. You know, just looking at anything stand out to you about next year's potential roster? And when you just look at this collection of, you know, maybe 14 guys, and obviously they can't have 14 on scholarship. Anything stand out to you when you look at it?
A lot of talent. I mean, this has been described by some people as the most talented. This is one of the rosters in the last decade or so that you really genuinely don't know who the starting five is going to be. I think in years past, you could say, this is probably going to be the starting five. You can make a pretty good assumption of what's going to happen the upcoming season. But I think this year, you're really wondering, how are these guys going to perform in practice? Because freshmen are always a huge question mark, regardless of how talented they are in high school, because college basketball is a completely different level, just like the NBA is a completely different level from college basketball. So how do the freshmen shape up? How do Vance Jackson, Jalen Tate, and Justin Smith come in as grad transfers? How do they do? What's the big man rotation shake out to be? Where's Connor Vanover? Mm-hmm. Where is where's Reggie Chaney? Does Baby Iola get any playing time? Does Jalen Williams crack the rotation? I mean, there are a lot of question marks. Not to say this team's not talented, but just how the starting lineup is going to be set this upcoming year.
Here's the thing that stood out to me. You got 14 guys on this list, and only four of them played in a game last year, and one of those was Ethan Henderson. So you had Isaiah Joe, Ethan Henderson, Reggie Chaney, Desi Sills. Other than that, everyone, all the other 10 guys are, you know, either were sitting in a transfer year last year or weren't on the team. So that to me is interesting of the turnover you're going to have, the lack of continuity, and you may end up with three on that list, you know, if Isaiah Joe leaves. So you're going to have a whole different looking team either way this goes. That to me is very interesting, that this team, you know, from the makeup and from the roster, Ty, is going to look nothing like last year's team.
The chemistry is going to be interesting. So Kentucky, if I remember correctly, Kentucky only had one, maybe two holdover players from this past season's roster, so they're going to be in a similar situation to Arkansas, where it's a complete turnover, and there are some other schools across college basketball that are facing that type of situation, and that's why the influx of talent, not only from the incoming freshmen that you added as a top seven recruiting class, but the also additions of these three grad transfers, which are going to make some noise and be productive players, I think. But then there's guys this past season that you were hoping to get more out of, mainly Gentile Silla. So it'll be interesting to see how these numbers go. Because on that note, the question now has to be asked, what does Justin Smith have to gain for coming to Arkansas? Jenkins told me during the break that Connor O'Gara, who is an Indiana alum, who comes on halftime 1:30 every Monday, actually grew up in the same hometown that Justin Smith is from, just said he didn't fit into the offense. But what's the tie to Arkansas? I know that he maybe liked how Eric Musselman's team played this past season in Assembly Hall, but he can't think that his stats are going to go up. I don't know if Eric Musselman is selling him on the idea of a postseason run or playing on a pretty good basketball team, but you can't tell me with all this talent on campus that Justin Smith is going to have better numbers than he did this past season with 10 points and 5 rebounds. I just don't see that this upcoming year.
It's going to be a battle. I mean, can you imagine the battle they're going to have? I mean, right now, just in these, air quotes, voluntary workouts they're going through, and the things they're able to put them through. I can only imagine when do they start practice? August? When they get back to school officially for fall semester? Can you imagine some of the battles they're going to have to figure it out? And how many different mixes of a starting lineup might you have this year? I mean, you may not have one just stable starting lineup, but these are your five. I'll be interested to see if five guys can emerge that these are our starting five. I think you got one or two players you'd put your money on, but I don't think you could round out a five that, particularly when you look at the forwards and the big guys, who's going to have those spots on a consistent basis? I think that's really up in the air.
I can't decide if Desi Sills is going to be a starter next year or not, because he was so much better coming off the bench than he was starting. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say he can't take a jump.
Good point.
And he can't really perform as a starter in his junior year. But some guys just like coming off the bench. Now, it's a little bit of a self-sacrifice. You cost yourself some minutes. But I think Desi really just ran with that role of being the sixth man this past season. I'm wondering, with these new players, as you mentioned, because there's potential with, what, only four holdover players? And if Isaiah Joe goes, there's only three. How does Desi Sills react to that? How do the coaching staff and him have conversations about him potentially coming off the bench or him being inserted into the starting lineup?
So you'd have him kind of as you'd have him tabbed as your point guard, right, Desi? So if he's not handling the point, who would be?
I don't think he's going to play point, Tommy. I think they're going to use Jay.
Well, who's going to handle the point then for this team? Because
Jalen Tate, KK Robinson, and Devontae Davis are going to be your point guards of this team. Now, which one is the starter? I don't know, but I think those are the guys you're going to see prominently handle this ball. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Desi does handle the ball a little more. I just think that those three guys are going to see the ball more in their hands.
I think your point about him coming off the bench is a great point, because he was more effective there last year and seemed to be able to absorb the game a little more or acclimate to the pace or whatever was mentally going on there, and then come off the bench and you know, he'd take the team up a notch. So
he's our Clay Henry,
about him,
Tommy,
being a great sixth. Yeah, exactly.
He comes in
him
later.
Being a great sixth man is a good point by you.
And I just, again, it goes back to what does he want to do? Because he was the one that approached the coaches this past season. Hey, I want to do this. And it might have been weird, but I think the team was overall better when he did that. So let's say he starts off the bench this upcoming season, and maybe they get off to a little bit of a stagnant start, Tommy. Then he approaches the coaches like, hey, coach, let me see if I can go into a starting role. I think he's going to do, because he's shown over the course of two seasons, that he's going to do whatever it takes on both ends of the floor and whatever it is for his team, whether it's ferociously getting to the rack, whether it's taking charges and offensive fouls. He's going to do what it takes to win basketball games, and that is not only applicable to what he does on the floor, but how he approaches each and every game, how he approaches practices, and how he approaches his minutes, because he had a little bit of self-sacrifice, but it paid off for the team. I see him continuing on that process. If that means coming off the bench, I think he's going to be okay with it. And if that means being inserted into a starting role, Tommy, I think he's going to be okay with it as well.
Yeah, I think he's a team guy. So, I mean, I'll just be interested because I just don't know enough about some of these transfer players in, even though they're seniors. We're more familiar with Desi's game and what he does. I'm just interested because I think you'd feel pretty solid right now about Isaiah Joe and Moses Moody being two of your starting five, right? I mean, if you had to put some odds down, if Isaiah Joe's back, he's starting, and I think Moses Moody's starting. Beyond that,
I convince you.
Obviously,
I'm happy.
You got to start picking out some. I mean, I just think they're good players. I think beyond that, it's just very difficult to figure out who the other three are, to nail them down and say this is absolutely the way it is. You know, sitting here in June, you know, when games aren't even scheduled to be played for months now. I'd have trouble filling out that lineup right now.
I think you could potentially add Vance Jackson to that list, but with the addition of Justin Smith, who plays the same position. Now, Smith is 6'7", Vance is 6'9". Vance is more of a shooter. Justin's more of a get-to-the-rim guy, go up and get an alley-oop. But I'm just curious, like yourself, if I had to pin down two players, I would say the exact same thing you just did. If Isaiah Joe comes back, he's an automatic starter no matter what. If there's any of the freshmen that I'm picking out of the list, and any other guy, really, I'm also going to go with Moses Moody. I think his talent is going to translate to the college level. That's why he is as high as 13th on some mock boards for the NBA draft in 2021. I just think he's going to stand out. But the other guys, Tommy, whether it's Desi still deciding what he wants to do, or the coaches deciding, hey, we want you coming off the bench, or we want you starting, or some of the other guys, it's a little more unknown. We saw some production from Ethan Henderson down the back end of the season. Reggie was okay at times this season. We've heard about JD Notte. We've seen Connor Vanover in the red-white game, but how does that shape up in practice? How do they shape up in ball games? We don't know, and that's what I'm curious about, just like you are.
And sometimes minutes, you know, everybody gets fired up about who starts. Minutes and critical minutes at the end of the game oftentimes mean a lot more than who comes out for the first few minutes of the ball game. I just don't know how you don't have significant minutes for a guy that's, 7'3", whatever Vanover is. How does he not have significant minutes this year? And when I say significant, 20 to 25, would that be about right for a guy his size? He's not going to play 40, you know. So, somewhere in the mid-20s would be significant minutes for a guy his size. How do you not put him on the bench? Or, I mean, how do you put him on the bench and not put him on the floor as much as possible with his size?
I think his size is a big factor, his ability to stretch the floor, but I just think he causes problems for the Razorbacks on defense. Unless he's vastly improved that area, he's always going to be a mismatch whenever he goes up against a guard or whenever he goes up against a quicker post player, or really even on the boards, because he's not that strong. But as you mentioned, he's 7'3". That has to help him out a lot. I don't know. I think, again, and we talked about this a month or so ago, I think people are almost hyping up Connor too much, and I don't want people to expect him to drop 15 and 10 this year. I think he's going to be more in the range of an 8-5 guy or something like that. But again, I think, Tommy, with the addition, again, of Justin Smith and all these other players, you're going to see a lot of spread out numbers. I don't know if you'll see a guy on this basketball team that averages 20-plus points a game because of how much offensive talent seems to be in that locker room. Is that a fair assessment to what you're just looking at before we start a game so far?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think Muss will probably mix and match a lot of things based on who he's playing that night. And also early in the year, if things go as scheduled, I mean, who knows what the actual schedule is going to look like at this point. He could rearrange the deck chairs here quite a few times to get where he wants to be for conference play. So I think the idea of having nine guys that play in a regular rotation is probably out the window for this year.
You mentioned practices are going to be fun. I think they're going to be buck wild this upcoming season. So I would encourage you, if you have a friend who's a big-time basketball donor or just a donor in general, talk to them, become more friends with them so you can sit in those practices so they get to watch this upcoming year. I'm just encouraging you, those practices.
How do we get there? That's what we got
to
do,
That's
man.
A great question. We need to talk to Mike Kaywood and Kyle Parkinson about them opening up a practice or two this season, because I would think that's as much as Arkansas fans are excited for this football season, as much as Arkansas fans will be excited for the baseball season, would you agree with me in the fact that I think there's more fans excited about basketball than both baseball and football?
Well, I think so, because Arkansas, I mean, as good as they've been at baseball, baseball's still baseball in the realm of college athletics. The College World Series is not as big a deal as the Final Four. The Final Four is not as big a deal as the college football playoff. And there's just no way around that argument. I don't think, you know, now you may have a personal preference, but the reality is being good at men's basketball is just a bigger deal. If you could get back to the Sweet 16 this year with this collection of players, it would validate that you're headed in the right direction and return you to a level that this program is very capable of. I think there are a lot of people very excited about to see what happens here. You kind of know what's going to happen with Dave Van Horn. What's the suspense? What's the unknown with him? You know, what national seed you're going to get? I mean, we just take it for granted what goes on in baseball.
With these players that you brought in, with the four freshmen, with the three grad transfers, how are the minutes going to shake out? I mean, Justin Smith started 32 games this past season. How did Jalen Tate and Vance Jackson react to the news that they brought another guy in? Were they happy about it? They added another player. Were they disappointed because they know they're going to get less shots? I'm really curious, and we're going to get the public answer from both Jalen and then Vance and then the rest of the players. But Tommy, how are the players going to react to that in that locker room? Because when you add a guy in his final year, it's not like he just came here to sit on the bench. He wants to play. He wants his shots. How is the team going to react to another player being added to this locker room as a grad transfer?
Oh, I'm sure it's a bit uncomfortable and you're on edge, but I think that's part of Musselman's playbook here, is to keep everybody a little uncomfortable, feeling like they got to fight for their job on a daily and weekly basis. So that's part of it. I'm with you. You're not going to see one of these seniors be the one to bow out or not be on scholarship. I mean, that long list of junior year players, to me, seems like if you had to draw a circle around a group of players who's leaving, that might be the one right there. But someone in that group. But I'm sure this is part of Musselman's algebra here. His calculus is, we're going to make everybody come in here in these voluntary workouts, and again this fall, and fight hard. And whoever doesn't do it this spring and through the summer is probably not going to be here in the fall. I think that's pretty obvious at this point.
If you want to get your lineups in, you can text in anytime, 877-377-6963. Craig in Greenwood, this is his lineup that he projects for next year. Desi Sills at the 1, Isaiah Joe at the 2, Moses Moody at the 3, Vance Jackson at the 4, Connor Vanover at the 5. He says that lineup is dangerous, and you're exactly right, Craig. If that lineup is going to be used this upcoming season, you got 5 shooters. Think about that. Yeah. Desi can stretch it. Isaiah, we know, can stretch it. Moses, for those who don't know, is one of the best high school shooters in the country this past year. Vance Jackson can hit the 3, and then Connor Vanover, even at 7'3", can knock down the outside J. So it's going to be really fun this upcoming season, Tommy, to see lineups with 5 or 4 guys on the floor that can all shoot the rock.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, we're brought to you by Academy Mortgage, even in these uncertain times. I'm already sick of that phrase, but Academy Mortgage still wants to help you achieve the dream of home ownership. They've got the new app, and Matt Fowler can help go through the entire process with you by downloading the Academy Mortgage app. It allows you for quick pre-approval. You simply fill out the application, you fill out the disclosures, and you upload the documents, and Matt gets busy on your loan, whether it's refinancing your current home or purchasing an entire new home. Rates are at historic lows right now, and Matt Fowler can help make it all possible for you with lower monthly payments or a great low monthly payment on your new home. Call Matt and get the process started, 870-580-5210. And again, with this Academy Mortgage mobile app, quick pre-approval, and you don't ever have to really go into the office till it's closing time. Academy Mortgage, your first choice home lender. Find out more at academymortgage.com.
Drew and Harrison texts in. He says, the great thing about getting Vance Jackson and Justin Smith is it gives Muss the option to go big and play big if Vanover and Williams want to get in, or they can go small ball and let these two play in the post with three other guards. He says, I pity the people that will play them full four-court press or try and play them with a small ball lineup, because you know this team is going to be much better conditioned than everyone else. Shane in Alma texts in and says, I don't think y'all are mentioning K.K. Robinson enough. If you remember, K.K. actually rose above Moses Moody as the 36th best player on 24/7 Sports as that was finalized. So, yeah, I think, Shane, you're right. Or, excuse me, Sean. K.K. Robinson is a guy that you're definitely want to keep an eye on. And there's so many of them, man. That's what's great about this upcoming basketball team. There's so many to watch.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tom, Justin Smith's transfer, his commitment, has taken up the majority of our conversation this morning. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that on social media yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, they got big commitments in all three sports yesterday, so it was a huge day for Razorback Athletics. But, I mean, Justin Smith, I mean, Indiana, 10.4 points, 5.2 rebounds. I mean, this guy just seems to me like maybe a little more athletic Adriel Bailey, a little more skilled. Is going to be a huge help with rebounding. And I tell you, guys who have played against Eric Musselman, for so many of them to be interested in this program or to sign here, just tells you what, you know, A, they think about him, and B, what they think about the type of basketball schemes he runs. It's incredible. National folks are taking notice, obviously. You know, Dick Vitale, you know, calling him out yesterday and or praising him yesterday on social media. It's been a phenomenal 1 year plus with Eric Musselman as head coach of the Razorbacks.
Tom, on that note, Jalen Tate watched his Northern Kentucky team lose to the Razorbacks. You had Vance Jackson, who played Nevada when Eric Musselman was the head coach when he was at New Mexico, and then now Justin Smith was on the Indiana Hoosiers when they took on the Razorbacks. So as you mentioned, all three of the transfers have a connection. How unique is that, man?
It's pretty wild. I mean, we're entering new realms of the portal, but it just, you know, it just goes to show you that they see something that they appreciate and admire. They like the way, you know, so when they get the legal ability to contact or for Arkansas to contact them, they hear what Eric Musselman says about how he runs his system, how he runs his program, how you're going to fit into his program. They like what they hear. I mean, it seems to me that with Musselman at the head of this program, that this is going to be a continual thing, that people are interested in playing for a guy like him. And Arkansas will be considered they'll probably wind up in the top 25 in preseason in basketball, and they just need to find a way to close out the games a little better. I know that Isaiah Joe's injury hurt them during that losing stretch, but man, there were some games in there that were just heartbreakers last year.
So, Tom, how do the numbers work? Obviously, you got 14 players, 13 scholarships. When the music stops and there's one chair too few, how does that work out? I know coaches always say these things have a way of working themselves out. How does it work itself out, Tom?
Well, I guess scholarships are renewable on a year-by-year basis. And the time for renewal, I believe, comes up late summer. And so, you know, does this mean Isaiah Joe, they think he's leaning toward coming out? I don't know. It may just be roster maintenance. And if Joe comes back, then someone else's scholarship doesn't get renewed. There's got to be some finesse involved in that. If if that's the case. But I guess we'll see it play out in the end. But when you're that active in the market and you feel like Justin Smith is a guy you can't pass up on bringing in, then you've got to feel some satisfaction with the way your roster situation is going to be resolved.
Yeah, and one thing for sure is this team's going to look a lot different. With Isaiah Joe, you got four players back that actually played last year. Without Isaiah Joe, it's three, and one of those is Ethan Henderson, who saw sparingly minutes, not a whole lot of minutes. Tom, there's no way around it. This is going to be a different-looking team with a lot of different parts next year.
Yeah, and, you know, how the locker room fits together and meshes is obviously going to be big. And I even thought about this yesterday because I had the same thought. It's that, well, this Kentucky goes through something pretty similar to this every year. And so if your players believe in you and there's respect going both ways, then you find ways for those guys to work it out in the locker room. But there's a lot of guys who are going to be wanting playing time. And who knows? I mean, if you fall to the 10th or 11th man, then maybe you're looking for your way out the following season. And, I mean, coaches always tell you this. It's the coaching axiom. You know, competition breeds better performances. So there's going to be some hungry guys to get out there and show they can play and contribute on this team. And you're right. It's going to be a different complexion. And Ethan Henderson, I thought he showed flashes of being a quality guy, especially defensively and shot blocking. But he cleaned up around the basket pretty good, too. So if he makes some advances this year, they're going to be better in a lot of ways.
Talking with Tom Murphy here on the Morning Rush. Tom, if Isaiah Joe does return, what's the postseason expectation for this basketball team?
Well, if Isaiah Joe comes back, you've got the floor so spread. I mean, you're going to have shooters all around the perimeter, and hopefully you've got some guys who can get it done on the inside and rebound better. Because if they hit rebound just, I don't know, 5 or 10% better than they rebounded last year, I think they don't lose as many of those games. So I would think that they're a team that would battle for the double bye at the SEC tournament. I'm not sure who all's losing what, but right now Auburn's in a really good phase. Kentucky hasn't gone anywhere. Looks like Tennessee basketball is pretty strong. LSU, who knows what happens with Will Wade in that program, but they've been recruiting well. And Mississippi State, kind of a thorn in their side. Now, they're going to lose some guys, obviously, but I would think that Arkansas would be projected to be a team that, you know, could have Sweet 16 aspirations or could push further beyond that. But I would certainly expect them to get an NCAA bid with Isaiah Joe back.
Tom, with this roster situation, and it's not 100% solved and it's not 100% done, there could be some transactions that happen in these next couple weeks, next couple months, but let's say it doesn't. What are your thoughts on it seemingly like Eric Musselman might be going back on what he initially said about his roster construction and how it was going to go at Arkansas? Because at this point, every single player on that roster is eligible. And that's not how he went about it in Nevada, and that's not how he said it looked like he was going to go about it here.
Well, yeah, at the time when they were playing a short roster, you know, like seven guys or eight guys, he talked about how you could get by with that, and sometimes it's more ideal for you. But that was in that moment. And now, I mean, like I said a moment ago, we will see how the roster situation get settled, and obviously if Isaiah Joe turns pro, then there's really not a conversation there. But, it will test. If Isaiah Joe comes back and they're won over, it will test, you know, how he conducts his program. And, you know, but obviously players see enough of him and there's enough respect both ways from what we've seen so far that he's an attractive coach to go play for.
Tom Murphy, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, with us here on the Morning Rush. Let's shift gears. The story of the week's been that Arkansas and the athletic administration, school administration, has authorized all sports except football to schedule Arkansas State and UCA. This goes along with their policy several months back or a year ago of allowing other in-state system schools to be on board with the scheduling. Tom, you said yesterday that baseball has already got some things in the work. What are your thoughts on Arkansas State and UCA being scheduling partners now with the University of Arkansas?
Yeah, it's amazing that, I mean, I guess the announcement came out last week because they felt like the baseball team was closing in on that. Like, you start talking about as a program, as a department, what will we do next year to start saving some money, travel money and all that kind of stuff. And so, okay, you play more regional teams. Well, more regional teams means more teams in Arkansas. Dave Van Horn, from the outset, has wanted to play the teams in the state. And if you saw the paper today, Trenton Dashner talked to Tommy Raffo at Arkansas State. And when he was hired, and this is in the last decade, Dave Van Horn reached out to him and said, hey, we'd love to start, you know, welcome to the state, and we'd love to start playing you when we can. And boom, as soon as the message is heard, you can start doing this, bam, it happened. And Dave, I think Dave's pretty proud of that. All four teams, the other Division I teams in the state, will be playing the Razorbacks. And, you know, they lost to Little Rock last year, 17-7. Did that impede or slow Dave Van Horn down in doing this and pursuing it? No, because he thinks it's going to make baseball better in the state. So if you saw the quotes from both Alan Gumm and Raffo that Trenton Dashner got for us, you saw that these guys respect Dave and that he's out to make baseball better in the state, and he just wants to play and compete. And that just speaks volumes for the type of coach and leader Dave Van Horn is.
You know, inevitably, the conversation turns to football. Do you think in the next 5 years, when an opening comes up, over the next few years, there will be something more definitive about Arkansas and Arkansas State playing in football?
Well, that one is still up for debate. I think in that deal, Arkansas State football is going so well that if you had played them in the last few years, it's very likely you could have gotten a loss. And so there's a lot to be lost there. And some of the old guard, I mean, you've got COVID-19 problems that are impacting your finances and, you know, your budgets. So you come up with ways to help that. Well, football is a big money maker. And they're scheduled out, what is it, 5-6 years now? So maybe at that time, there's more sentiment toward playing Arkansas State or UCA in football. But I get what their plan was from the beginning, which was to help on with the sister schools. And so that's why Pine Bluff is on the football schedule. And you know, Little Rock came up here and played the exhibition. They played in basketball and volleyball and tennis. And so it's hard for me to project and just say with all definitiveness that they're going to play Arkansas State in football in 6 years. I think we'd have a few more miles to go to get to that stage.
Talking with Tom Murphy here on the Morning Rush. So, Tom, you've talked about the protection of potentially playing Arkansas, but do you want to see them play the Red Wolves? Is that something that's appealing to you, and do you think would be appealing to your readers?
Well, it would certainly generate a ton of interest. And, of course, I wouldn't mind covering whoever. My opinion doesn't count in all this, Ty. But what I thought would have been cool, I mean, they've already gotten on board with the Missouri game every other year and the spring football game, and maybe there comes a time where the SEC will approve of them playing their spring football game there. But I thought that playing a UAPB or an Arkansas State in Little Rock would make a ton of sense, and it would help the attendance at War Memorial. They're locked into the current deal for a while, and, you know, time passes slowly sometimes, but here they are now playing UAPB in football, so there may come a day where something in Little Rock would make a lot of sense for both the programs.
Tom, we just got a text in here asking, changing back to basketball. Arkansas, we're talking about the roster construction, but they also have a spot on the bench in the coaching staff that hasn't been filled. We played around with this topic yesterday, potentially joking maybe Corliss Williamson would like to come back. Maybe he adds Anthony Ruda or someone else on that staff who's already on there to that assistant coaching role. What have you heard about the prospects about who's going to fill that assistant spot on the Arkansas basketball team?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot on that one yet, Ty. I mean, I spent yesterday working on this baseball thing, and also something we haven't talked about is the Division I Council suggesting that the football get phased back in with a 6-week plan that may add a football to the practice on the walkthroughs in mid-July. So I haven't heard a lot of that. I mean, that's Bob's beat mostly. But I'm sure Eric Musselman got people contacting him left and right to join this staff because it's one that's, you know, it's on the way up. But the guys you mentioned make total sense. I mean, if that's something Corliss Williamson might be interested in doing, they have crossed paths in the past, and that would make sense. Anthony Root has been a valuable member. I mean, he might be so valuable in the role he has now that Eric might not want that to happen. So I can't give you any insight as to which way they're leaning or anything like that.
Tom, the voluntary workouts began yesterday, and anyone that's watched the local news knows that the coronavirus numbers, COVID numbers in Washington and Benton County have risen faster than anywhere in the state. In fact, pretty much anywhere in the country, they're on the rise. What do we need to be watching from outside that how this relates to what's going on in Washington and Benton County to the athletic department? Because I think this is a tender moment in how this thing moves forward. You talk about the plans of getting OTA-type workouts in July. What has to happen over the next 2 weeks or so to make sure they can move forward with that plan?
Yeah, it's somewhat alarming that our numbers right here locally have gone up, and it's been about a three-week trend, it feels like, that our numbers are going higher. So you want to see them go down, and the athletes just have to make smart decisions. And even though you're young and you could probably fight it off, well, you could still be a carrier. And Sam Pittman was on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday and said that they're approaching it as if, let's don't get anyone else sick, okay? So, in other words, take all the precautions that you can. And if they follow the protocols that are in the manual, the 30-page deal of returning, then it minimizes the risk of spreading it. So, they've already announced or publicized late last week that one athlete had it, and that person's quarantining, and they just have to be serious about it. I think sometimes young kids don't feel like it's going to bother them so much, or even if I get it, I'll be fine. Yeah, well, you still have to take the precautions. So we just have to hope that the athletes are doing like a lot of people. But I've said on your air many times that in my dealings out in the public, I've just seen way too many people not wearing masks and, not social distancing enough. And you just got to keep doing it. And, we're opening things back up. The economy is ticking back up. Looks like football might be on track, but still be sensible about things. You can make your stands in other different ways, but trying to do your best to not worsen the spread is just – sensible to me.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Murphy ADG. Joins us every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7:15 on the Morning Rush. Tom, appreciate it, buddy. Talk in 2 days.
Yeah, talk some MLB draft on Thursday, probably. Take care.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Many are wondering, hey, how'd the first day of voluntary workouts go? What's going on with the players? Sam Pittman answered that yesterday on Paul Feinbaum.
Well, we kind of look at it a little bit different. We're acting like each one of them have it, and we don't want to give it to somebody. This is a me, look at me. I don't want the virus. I don't want the virus. We're kind of approaching it differently, as in we don't want to give anybody the virus. And it seemed to work. We have to stay our distance, keep our mask on. But the kids did a really good job with that today, and certainly our coaching staff is as well.
So this is a priority for Arkansas to make sure they're following the guidelines that have come down from the SEC and come down from the state as well, Tommy, because each state has to follow their guidelines individually based on what the governors and everyone has set forth. But it's got to be a little weird, the different procedures and cautionary stuff that they have to do. But as Sam Pittman talked about before, you better do it. Like, he's talking to the players. I hope they do it because they don't want to be recluse. They don't want to be stuck in their homes again. They want to have a college football season. They want to play football this upcoming year. And if you have to sacrifice a few things that you may not like in order to have that season, you're going to do it if you're a coach, you're going to do it if you're a player, and you're going to do it if you're an administrator as well.
Yeah, and it's so hard, particularly at that age, because, I mean, I see it with you guys a little bit. I mean, you got a little bit of an air of invincibility at that age. We all did, and we all do, you know, when you're so you don't think coronavirus is going to bother you, so you don't want to wear the mask. You don't want to do all the protocols and everything, but that's what you got to do to take care of your team right now to not have the spread. I mean, it's just and getting that drilled into every player, I'm sure, is as much the challenge as any part of the job they're doing right now, is to try to get everybody that comes in that building to do it all. But that's the sacrifice you got to make to kind of get things resumed.
Tomorrow will be the first time that I set foot in my gym in I don't know how many months, and I'm curious to see what guidelines are set forth that we have to follow, whether it's wearing the mask, whether it's only working out at one machine per three machines or whatever it may be. But again, I'm going to do what's told of me because I want to keep going to the gym. Just like these football players, they want to play football this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. So if they have to change what they're used to in order to play this upcoming year, Tommy, they're going to do it.
Nope, and that's. But don't you figure, like, I mean, I know how hard it is to get my kids to do what we ask them to do. I mean, getting everybody on the same page is just not easy right now. But the carrot you're dangling, rather than using the stick, the carrot that you're dangling is football season, right? So, hey, wear the mask. Let's do what we got to do because you need to get your workouts in. We're going to work in smaller groups. We're not going to be able to do the thing. But the carrot we're dangling in front of everybody is a football season. And if we don't take care of business now, there's no football season. I'm sure they're having a lot of those conversations and have been having them in Zoom and everywhere else. The big carrot dangling out there is, hey, you get to play in a few months, hopefully.
And you almost, it comes off as a threat. But it almost needs to come off as a threat because every once in a while you have to use a little bit of leverage to convince someone, hey, this is why you need to do this. And I don't know if the workouts and the different things that they're going on involved with football is going to be the most difficult thing. To me, Tommy, as a guy that's not necessarily the exact same age as these guys, but as a young kid, I mean, I like socializing. I like doing. That's probably, I think, in my opinion, the most difficult part, the most difficult facet of this argument is convincing them that they need to be recluses and really stay at their apartments and not socialize as much as possible.
Well, I think it's being careful who you socialize with, but, you know, spending probably more time around your teammates that you feel like you have a little more control over that environment, not wandering out of the, kind of your controlled circle, if you will. So, yeah, being smart, being careful, particularly, and we've referenced this a few times during the show already, it's not a secret in our state what Washington and Benton County are going through right now and the significant rise in positive test numbers with coronavirus. So, I mean, you got to be extra vigilant right now in Washington and Benton counties because the numbers are out there. And so, you know, are you more careful and vigilant if you go to Walmart? Do you do grocery pickup or have it you know, ready and brought to your car more than going into the store? You know, I'm more of a go in the store guy, but right now, if I was in Washington County, I'd probably think more about it, particularly if I'm a football player with a lot more to lose, at least in my mind, if this thing took off and got out of control within the team's ranks.
What about quarterbacks? That's a question that many have been asking. Is Felipe Franks the assumed starter? What's going to happen in that room? How are they going to go about that? Sam Pittman answered that as well.
Right now, that's huge for us, especially with no spring ball, to get a guy who's competed at a high level in the SEC is very beneficial to us, not only with his talent, but his leadership qualities. And so we're awful happy to have Felipe. Obviously, we have KJ Jefferson there that's going to battle for that job. And of course, we signed Malik Hornsby, who we think is going to have a bright, bright future here. So I think Kendall Briles has done a great job of recruiting quarterbacks. And as we all know, it's very, very difficult to win without one.
No mention of John Stephen Jones, no mention of Jack Lindsey. I think we're all under the assumption that there's three guys competing for that job. Felipe Franks, KJ Jefferson, and Malik Hornsby.
And with a truncated or reduced offseason, we didn't have spring practice. These coaches hadn't gotten a set of eyes on them. They hadn't been able to do anything to this point. None of these guys have been able to separate themselves. We've kind of anointed Felipe Franks based on experience, based on time at Florida as the leader in the clubhouse and the starter. But, I mean, is that irresponsible on our part as media to go ahead and do that? Or is that using our heads? I don't know, because I don't know that Franks is going to be the automatic starter. But I'll be interested to watch this battle as close as we can.
Yeah, it's definitely something we want to keep an eye on. So we're going to talk to Tom Murphy coming up about that. We'll recap his interview with Sam Pittman, and then a lot of other stuff coming up with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.